Rosh Benazai, Hare Anika Ben Shivim Shana. I am like 70 years old, Belezochisi, and I didn't merit to understand Shetayomar Yetzias Mitzrayim Belelos, that Yetzias Mitzrayim should be repeated at night. Until Ben Zoma expounded on this, Shenemar says, Laman Tiskor Es Yom Tseizkor, in order that you remember the day of your exodus from Egypt, Kol Yemei Chayecha, all the days of your life. Yemei Chayecha Hayomim, the days of your life means the days. Kol Yemei Chayecha Halelos, all the days of your life means the nights. The Chachomim Reimrim, the Chachomim argue and say, Yemei Chayecha Ho'elam Achzer, Kol Yemei Chayecha Lohavi Yemei Samashiach. Yemei Chayecha means this world. All the days mean the Yemei Samashiach. Now this paragraph is pregnant with meaning. There are many lessons that you could learn from here, which we'll see. The first idea, though, which we see here, is what I mentioned. What were they discussing that night? Now we would assume that Elazar ben Azariah, why is this placed here? He was one of these five scholars. Perhaps this was one of the concepts that they were discussing that night. Now, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, how do we know that there's a mitzvah of saying the third chapter of Shema at Maariv at night? Meaning we say, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, third chapter, Daber of Nei Yisrael. Laman Tiskeru, Vasisa Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Asher Etzeisi Eschem Me'eretz Mitzrayim. So what he wanted to know is, why do we have to say every day? It has nothing to do with Pesach. Pesach, there's a mitzvah. We got to tell the Bincha B'Yayim Ahu Le'mor. Speak about and teach him the story of the Exodus. Throughout the year, every day, there is a mitzvah of L'man Tizkor Shein Tzeischon Me'eretz Mitzrayim Kol Yemei Chayecha. Now this has nothing to do with the Pesach Seder. Yet, he was talking about this, because this had to do with Yetzias Mitzrayim. Anything that had to, and it had to do with legality about Davening Maariv. Anything that was related around Yetzias Mitzrayim, so that you really can fulfill the mitzvah of Marbe L'Saper to Yetzias Mitzrayim. That you go ahead and you are Marbe L'Saper, you expand more and more, expand on the on whatever you speak about. Now this can be, you said, but what's so significant here? Well, this is significant from a halachic point also. For example, if you notice the language, it says when halelos, to include also at night, it says the words Yemei Chayecha Hayomim. The passage reads Yemei Chayecha, which means the day, Kol Yemei Chayecha, all. The word all means the night. Now when the Chachamim say that Yemei Chayecha means this world, Kol Yemei Chayecha means Lohavi. Now look at the language. It doesn't say Kol Yemei Chayecha L'Mei Samashiach, but Kol Yemei Chayecha Lohavi, to include, to bring about also L'Mei Samashiach. So there's an interesting halachic concept that you'll see how something can be built. The question is, we know that women are obligated to do all the mitzvahs, positive mitzvahs, that are not relegated to a special time, that are not governed by the confines of the time, the place. But the question is then, do women have the mitzvah of Tizkor Yetzias Mitzrayim? So one will say, sure they do, according to this wife. And that's machlokes, because they have to do it in the morning, Yemei Chayecha Hayomi, Kol Yemei Chayecha Halelos. They have to do it at night. So that would seem that it's not relegated to a certain time. The Shagasayu, one of the greatest Gaonim, says, however, that women are exempt from it. Why? Because he says day and night is not one mitzvah. Day is one mitzvah, night is another mitzvah. Sure, there's a mitzvah governing the day and governing the night, but it's not a mitzvah that's constant. It was not. That means when you do the mitzvah in the morning, that's a mitzvah of Krishna to be read only in the daytime. When you do a mitzvah at night, it's a mitzvah of Krishna to be read only at night. So therefore, these two mitzvahs are not one mitzvah that is prolonged around the clock, but it's two distinct mitzvahs that have to do with special time. And says perhaps that can be alluded to in this pasuk. Kol yamei chayecha means leilos. So the word kol means at night. The chachamim say lohavi the mesa mashiach. Lohavi means to bring in, to expand and to surround, to bring in the days of Mashiach. The same mitzvah, not from the word kol, meaning a separate mitzvah, but lohavi, to include the days of the Mashiach into the first mitzvah. So that difference would be if it's one mitzvah or it's two separate mitzvahs. Now, what is the idea of Mashiach? Now, what we mentioned in the beginning of this year, we said that these people were destined to be in Mitzrayim one time. Right? One time they were destined to be in Golis. And then they would go out to Rechush Gadol, and they would have the Beis Hamikdash, and the ruler would come. But the reason we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chishei V'Zakeitz La'asos, that God counted the Kates, it says a little bit later, the time La'asos to do. What did he count? The Jews were really there 210. He already said that there would be 400. So he said that he gave him credit, he paroled him with 190 years to go. Now, we can appreciate that if you look at it as a parole. I mean, if you break your parole, then you got to serve out your sentence. When they were paroled, if they would have filled their whole sentence, so you'd break your parole, you could drink liquor and carry a gun, and if you had permit. You could drink liquor, they don't put you back into it. But if you have certain conditions of parole and you break the parole, everything goes back to your sentence. Now, they had to be paroled because they wouldn't have been able to exist the next few years in Egypt. It says, it's interesting why they wouldn't be able to exist. It says, so why, when you analyze it, you see how time circles itself again and again. It says, why, what schus did they have? It says they spoke one time, they felt the brother, with the brother, Shleshinos Hashem, Shleshinos Bideyim. So in a sense, it was a certain, and they worshipped Avedezoras, the most of them, but it was a certain nationalism at a certain time. A nationalism and a time can't really guarantee your eternity in the future. It'll last only for a short time, but if there's no basic religious belief, then the Shanim and so on are going to fall aside. They were worshippers of idolaters. So what is, thank God, they were able to exist a certain amount as Klal Yisrael by using Jewish names and Jewish language, but it wouldn't have continued. Because that's not a recipe, that's not a formula for continuity. Therefore, Hashem, in order to see that there should be a Klal Yisrael, so he said, but I said 400 years. So I'll furlough them 190, they're 210. I'll give them credit 190, and I'll put them in a halfway house, or I'll furlough them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chishev Es HaKeitz, 190 lasos. But therefore, whenever they broke this, they went back into prison. So the idea was that they went back in, so the Golus had to be fulfilled. The Geula also was not a total Geula, because God had promised that the Geula will come about again, I mean, ultimately. Now, when the total Geula will come about in the days of Mashiach, that redemption, Geula meaning redemption, that will come about in the days of Mashiach, will be the part of that total freedom and redemption that should have been on the time of Mitzrayim. Because if there would have been the total enslavement, there would have been total redemption. This is the way I understand. If not, so therefore it had to continue. So this is Lohavi Limeis Mashiach. The Limeis Mashiach has its part of the Geula that went out of Egypt. And it happens again and again. That's why it says Limeis Mashiach. Let's go to the Chochem Mahu Eime. What does the Chochem say? We all know the Chochem's Chochem Mahu Eime, Mahu Eidus, V'achukim, V'amishpatim. The Chochem says, what are the Eidus, the Chukim, and the Mishpatim that Hashem has gone ahead and has told you to do? She'etziva Hashem Elokeichem Eschem. So they say an interpretation from the Brisker Rav. He stops on the word, what is Eidus and Chukim and Mishpatim. So
It says we find two points in the Torah. We find the idea of mitzvos out of the Torah, the 613 mitzvos and so on. But there are also sipurim. What are that? The stories. The stories, in a sense, the life events of our avos, the whole Bereshis, is taken up with Parash Shmos and Bamidbar and so on, with sipurim. He says the sipurim, what we call stories, are basically called edus, testimonies. Because it's as if the Torah is testifying that these events that are written, I always interpret the distinction between history. You won't find two history books the same, because two people always testify a little different. His story, you don't know whose story it is, the one that's writing it. The Torah you could call God's story. If you want to say it's history, you better call it God's story. The idea is that Hashem tells us what the actual truth is. It's the edus, the testimony of God, that this is true. So now, there are two different ideas. You have the sipur of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which means the testimony of Hashem to all of these events, and you also have the chukim and the mishpatim, the various laws and statutes. So this is the emphasis of the chochem. Moho edus. Aside from the legalities and the legal points, what were the testimonies that we learn here, the events that Hashem has told us? Because those historical events are things that we have to believe. It's not only the laws, but here we have to believe these events. And he brings down very good interpretation in that vein in the Pasuk in Tehillim. We say it in the davening, Edus Hashem Nemono Machkimas Pesi, the edus of God. Again, the word edus, nemono, is truthful. Machkimas, it makes wise. Pesi, the fool. So he says, what is the significance of that? Because in Mishle, Shlomo HaMelech says, Pesi yamin l'chol davar. So that he accepted a fool will believe anything. Pesi yamin l'chol davar means a person who believes anything that you tell him is called a pesi, a fool. Therefore, it says in Tehillim that Edus Hashem Nemono, this you could believe, the testimony that God says, Nemono, that is true and that is faithful. Machkimas, that gives wisdom, pesi, to the fool, meaning that this you could accept and become wise because this is actual, this is true. Therefore, they always bring the word of the Torah as actual truth. So much so, I may have mentioned once, the Gemara says, how do you know that Bavel, I think I mentioned that Bavel is north from Eretz Yisrael. So right away, he brings the Pasuk from Tanakh, Mitzafon, from the north, Tiposach Aroah, the evil will befall you. Now, you could say, look at the map, everybody knows where it is. But if you have the absolute truth by God, through the word of God, so you don't go and bring maps or something that were drawn by the individual. Your first reaction would be to go and bring the true edus, the edus Hashem nemono machkimas pesi. So this is the interpretation, the way he learns the difference that the chochem, when the chochem asks, between edus and mishpatim. Now there is also an interesting emphasis on what we answer the chochem, from the Belzer Rebbe. They emphasize this one point by the Chochem. He says, the Agoda in the answer suggests, it says, what is the answer to the Chochem? Kehilchas HaPesach, like the laws of Pesach, emaftirin achar HaPesach apikamen, one may not eat after the final taste of the Paschal Lamb apikamen food. If, in case you're not aware, the word apikamen means bring out food. Afiku mon. Afiku mon means bring out mon food. Now, after the Paschal Lamb, they're not allowed to eat anything. The Paschal Lamb was what we call now the Afikamen. In a sense, we're eating the Afikamen in the place what they used to eat the Paschal Lamb. And after the Paschal Lamb, it says, Ein Metzin Achar HaPesach. After the Paschal Lamb, you don't say, Afikomon, bring out different food, bring out dessert. That had to be the last thing. So the Belzer Rebbe asked, so why does it say here, Kehilchos, what is the expression of the Koch? Kehilchos, like the laws. should have said, you should tell him, Hilchos, the laws. What is the kof, like the laws? So he says, the Haggadah teaches us here a major pedagogical principle, that a teacher should not be content merely with imparting information, but he should make it as tempting and as enjoyable as delicious food. So that's what he says. The afikamen is used as an illustration. Just like you can't eat anything after the afikamen, in order that the taste should linger in your mouth. So he says it should be that pleasant, like that law, that teaching the laws of Pesach should bring this person such pleasure. That means that long after he leaves the class, or long after he's learned the lesson, he still will retain the pleasant taste of that Torah. So, ki hilchos ha-Pesach, ein maftirin achar ha-Pesach afikomen. Just like that law of ein maftirin achar ha-Pesach afikomen, which means that that should be the final taste. So you should also go ahead and teach him Torah in that sense, that it should be pleasant and enduring. This is the same idea that Hirsch interprets Be'ele HaMishpatim, which we studied a few weeks ago, that these are the statutes, so Rashi says, that Moshe was taught that to present the statutes Kishulchan Oruch U'Muchan Lifneihem, that like a beautiful table which is presented for them to eat. That's why the Shulchan Aruch that we call is a presentation of the laws. But it's presented Kishulchan Aruch, that's the name of it, like a table prepared in a way which is orderly and presentable, and that people will be able to study and retain it. In fact, the Ramah that added his interpretations to the Rav Yosef Karo, to the original Shulchan Aruch, the Beis Yosef, so his interpretation was called the Mapo. The Mapo means the tablecloth. He added the tablecloth to the Shulchan Aruch, to the table. So you see that the vernacular that's used are dealing with feeling, giving a meal. So this interpretation fits in very well. The food that you serve on this tablecloth and this table should be very appetizing and delectable. Because if you don't serve it in that way, like Hirsch says, if you go into a kosher restaurant and the tablecloth is dirty and the dishes are not clean, so he says that's considered a chilul Hashem, because that shows you the lack of attractive or respect that you would give to kashrus. So this is the comparison that we find in many different ways. They say it in many different aspects, but it's all the same.
Russia mo amen. What does the Russia say? The Russia says, Ma Haveda Hazeis Lachem. What is this work? Avoda means an effort, the burden, the work for you. Lachem Velo Lo. It means for him, for you, and not himself. Ofisha Heitze Asatzme Minaklo. Since he took himself out of the general group, because he said Lachem, Kofar Be'ikr. So he denies the essence of our faith. Apato hake eshino, you should also like hit him or smack him eshino in his teeth. And you should say to him that if he would be there, Ba'avur zeh oso Hashem li, because God has done this to me, b'tzeisim in Mitzrayim, when they went out of Egypt. Li v'lo lo. Not to him. That means Ilu Hoya Sham, Lehoya Nigol, if he would have been there, he would not have been redeemed. Why wouldn't he have been redeemed? Because he would have been from those who do not believe, from the Rishoyim, and therefore he would have been killed out in Egypt, because actually only one-fifth of the population itself went out of Egypt. The other four-fifths were deemed not worthy of being liberated. We look sometimes at the Shval HaMatzev, at the degradation that we find in our ranks, and we wonder, how can we ever be worthy of Gelula, of redemption? But actually, we never should lose sight. We shouldn't lose sight that in Mitzrayim itself, they were, if there was only one-fifth, so it would be 20% of the electorate. They always speak now, what percentage of the electorate are traditional Jews in Israel? So one would think that in the days of Gelula they were 100%. It wasn't that way. In Mitzrayim, there were only 20% of the elected. And the numbers were falling downwards. That's why the Rabbeinu Shalom went ahead and he brought them out, the Mephoshim say, he brought them out before the time. And in fact, that's why the Gelula, that the redemption from that, was not the ultimate redemption. The ultimate redemption is yet to come. If they would have been able to withstand the entire period in Egypt, the entire Golus of Klal Yisrael, which has dragged out for thousands of years, would have been fulfilled and would have been accomplished in Egypt. But because he had to take them out earlier, otherwise they would have totally been destroyed in Egypt. So therefore, we have within us the purging process of Golus that had to continue. And this Golus is continuing until the time will come right. And then the Geula will go ahead and it will be concluded. We'll speak about that a little bit later, but I want to emphasize this one point, because what we're speaking about these various mitzvahs and so on. So the commentary stopped, what is the distinction between the Chacham and the Rosh? So there's a interpretation that says the following, which is mentioned by many commentaries. They want to say the distinction is the following, that really a person is given the right to seek to understand the reasons of the mitzvahs. Now, although all the mitzvos are decrees of God, I mean, we don't really understand it. The word mitzvah itself constitutes commandment. Even so, everything that a person can try to see some of the benefits, he's supposed to go ahead and do that. Now, a person has to seek to try to understand it, so this will give him more insight in his performance of the mitzvah. That it won't just be by rote. You'll be able to appreciate the significance of the mitzvah. Even so, should a person seek to understand the mitzvah after the performance of the mitzvah, not before? Because if he won't find something according to his weak wisdom and intellectual ability, if he won't truly comprehend the mitzvah, so therefore he will be mezalzel in the mitzvah. He'll go ahead and he will cheapen the mitzvah and it will be foolish in his eyes. Therefore, the people of Israel, when they came to accept the Torah, they said, Naseh v'nishma, meaning first we will do the mitzvah, then v'nishma, we will continue to try to fulfill the mitzvah. Now, if that's the case, he says, by a chochem, the chochem says, Mo'edus, he will ask you, Mo'edus v'achukim v'amishpotim asher tzivo, Hashem elekeinu eschem, that God has commanded you to do. What are the various mitzvos that God has commanded you to do? Now, he is very specific. That means he has seen you fulfill these mitzvos, and now, after we fulfill these mitzvos, he wants to know, then we understand the various meanings. Let's try to understand these meanings. So the Russia, however, says, you're going to sit down to the Agare. He just puts it all into one type of a ritual. And he says, this doesn't apply anymore to our day. And since this no longer applies to our day, so therefore, the whole concept is not necessary. Why did he assume it didn't apply to our day? Because one of the reasons why the Korban Pesach was brought, the people in Egypt worshipped the Mazal Tleh. Mazal Tleh meaning the various heavenly body or constellation. The Tleh was one of the signs of the constellation. Now, they believed that this constellation really governs all of man's actions. So, Klal Yisrael, in order to totally eradicate this thought from their mind, to cleanse themselves, were told to bring the Korban Pesach. Now, in fact, we said that Halalu Evdei Aveda Zorah, the Halalu Evdei Aveda Zorah, that the Jews at that time were also worshipping Aveda Zorah. But they were told to bring the Korban Pesach. When were they told to bring the Korban Pesach? During the month of Nisan. HaChedesh HaZeh Lochem. Because this month of Nisan, the power of the constellation of the Tler, because there is such a creation, was very strong. And therefore, to show that during this month of Nisan, the Jews will bring the Korban Pesach, and they won't be afraid of the Egyptians. In fact, the Medrash says, when God told Moshe to bring it, so Moshe said, Heich Nisbach, Estavas Mitzrayim, Veneim, Veleyes Kolumim, that how could we go and take the abomination of Egypt, that means their God, in their period, in their month of their God, the Leyes Kolumim, they shouldn't destroy us, they'll go with a jihad, they'll go with a holy war against us, how could we, so God said, you're not moving out of here until you do it. Now when you think into it, what it meant was that the Jews had to nullify and negate the concept of the Aveda Zorah. Otherwise, Einchem Zozim Mikan, you're not moving out of here. If you don't do it, then you really can't be redeemed because you were Aveda Zorah and they were Aveda Zorah. And that's why they had to put the blood of the Korban Pesach in the house so that there'd be a distinction, that they're publicly proclaiming that they no longer have anything to do with this Aveda Zorah. Now this month that they could bring that you're involved in the Korban Pesach, it's brought the day before Pesach, right? The day before Pesach. But really, the whole month had to do with the Teler, with the power of Aveda Zorah of the Egyptian. In fact, that's why a little later in the Haggadah, it says, Yochol Mirash Chodesh. You would think that you should begin to recite the Haggadah, you should celebrate the Pesach. You could fulfill the mitzvah of the Higadita, to teach your sons from Rish Chodesh. So it says, no, Beyom Ahu, on this day. You would think Beod Yom, when it's still day. So it says, no, when you have the mitzvah of eating the matzah, the mitzvah of the Exodus. Now, why would you actually think that you should be able to do it all the way from Rish Chodesh? I mean, the mitzvah is the Korban Pesach. The mitzvah is Pesach. What does it have to do from Rish Chodesh? The answer is, why were they redeemed? And what was the whole idea of the Korban Pesach? Like we're saying, because they destroyed the Egyptian abomination, because they destroyed the Egyptian god. The power of this god was the month of Nisan. Just like we find the month of Adar, it says that the one interpretation for the month of Adar, you could read the Megillah from the beginning. Why? We don't say that. Because HaChodesh, the month that was changed, Miyogon Nisimta, the entire month was changed into a month of happiness. So really, that's why Moshe was telling them, An Rish Chodesh, HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem Reish Kedoshim. The emphasis, what this month is the beginning of your year, the beginning of your creation as a nation, really. Because in this month, you're destroying the Aveda Zorah of the Tler, which is predominant and dominating in this month. So basically, that's the idea of the Korban Pesach, the significance of eating the Korban Pesach and the Seder. Now, V'hoyu ki'emra aleichem b'neichem, but in the future, the Russia will say to you, Mo Aveda Azeis Lachem, again through this whole ritual, there are no longer any Aveda Zorah. You destroyed the Aveda Zorah. It's a historical fact that was destroyed a long time ago. So why is it necessary to go through the whole proper Seder procedure? He refuses to go and do this thing. The Chacham asks, after you commanded these things, these different mitzvahs, he wants to know the reason. But if he would find out that he doesn't understand the reason, because he's even accepting the word chukim, chukim means you don't understand the reason, he's still ready to perform the mitzvah. Because the mitzvah was performed primarily not because we understand the reason, but because Hashem gave the mitzvah. The best proof is that the events that happened later happened a lot of times because the mitzvah was there. Avram Avinu, we say, when the Malachim came to Avram and when they came to Lot, they baked matzahs. In fact, you recite it later, they baked matzahs. So now the question is, they were living many, many centuries before Yetzias Mitzrayim. So how were they baking matzahs? We eat matzah al shum mor. Why do we eat the matzah? Because the Jews went out of Egypt. But it really works both ways. Why did the Jews go out of Egypt in this time? Because this is the period of eating matzah. So it doesn't necessarily mean that these mitzvahs of Pesach are done because they're going out of Egypt. They're going out of Egypt. They're going out of Egypt because these mitzvahs of Pesach are performed in this month. Hashem made in certain periods of the year certain important points, and because he made this, so therefore these are periods that they will go out of Egypt. Now, we mentioned the past Shabbos. The idea was the Korah Duma was a chok statute, which we learned about. Now, actually, there were four statutes, chukim, that we don't understand supposedly the reason that the Medrash says. One chok was the law of the Levirate, because here you say you're not allowed to marry your brother's wife, and over here you go ahead and you're allowed to use a mitzvah to marry if he dies without children. Why? The second is the Porah Duma, which we read about. The third was the law of shatness. You're not allowed to wear a garment that's shatness. Yet, if you have the tchelis, you could put tzitzis on, woolen tzitzis. The fourth law was not the law of the tzitzis. The fourth law was the law of the Sira Mishtaleach, which they sent away on Yom Kippur. There again, the one who, that goes away to bring about forgiveness for the Yisrael. Yet the person that took it, he becomes unclean. So these are very difficult. So it says Shlomo HaMelech was able, Moshe understood all of these laws. Shlomo HaMelech only understood three, not one. One he couldn't understand. Korah Duma he could not understand. Now why not? Why didn't God give him to understand the Korah Duma? Because the idea was, the other three chukim he gave him to understand. But the idea was, in everybody's life there has to be one chok that you don't understand. And it's Shlomo HaMelech, except for Moshe. Because you have to realize that you're doing the mitzvah because Hashem told you to do the mitzvah. The problem from the Ajahn, and that's why, for example, your first, the man puts on the first the tefillin, shel yad, and then he puts on the tefillin, shel rosh, meaning he first does the mitzvah. Also, he puts around his betroths. He says, I betroth you, erachli be'emuna, in faith. Ve'yodato es Hashem, and then I will know God. So your first aspect of mitzvah is in faith, with emunah, in faith, then the yadat es Hashem. That was the difference from the Rosh Hashanah, even a significant part of the Agudah. Because once you go ahead and you start examining and giving the frivolous reasons of mitzvahs, so every mitzvah falls aside. The mitzvah of Taz Mishpat fell aside. The mitzvah of, now they're taking themselves to the mitzvah of Kashrus. It's an old story, but now they're taking circumcision. They're tearing circumcision apart. Circumcision, because it has to do with it. It has nothing to do with urinary tract infection. Is the akedah of a Jewish person. That's, you know, there may be 1,000 benefits, the side benefits. Just like when you do a good thing, you also have the side benefits. If you go walking every day, you could get 1,000 reasons why it helps you. It can help you mentally. It can help you psychologically. It could help you physically. That's true. But just because we'll say you don't have to have it for stress doesn't mean it won't help your cholesterol. Understand? I mean, everything. There's thousands of reasons. A good thing, if something is good, the Ben Shalom gives a mitzvah, there has to be good. I mean, it's not. It's totally good. We don't understand all of it's good, but it's good. So therefore, there are many tributaries, there are many offshoots that are good. Sometimes we appreciate one. Sometimes one may be beneficial. Sometimes it might not be necessary. But that's not the true reason of the mitzvah. Just because you have refrigeration, so you'll say, therefore, Kashrus Africa doesn't exist anymore because now everything is pure as refrigeration. That was just maybe one of the little aspects that in certain situations and generations could prove to be beneficial. But that wasn't the reason of the mitzvah. The mitzvah is beyond that country.
Rav Yerucham, the Mir Mashgiach, so he speaks a bit on this, and he says, in its very simple form, he says, many have wondered, he says, how the question of the wicked son differs from that of the wise son. But aside from that, he says, there is also another problem. Because when you look at the Chumash in Shmos, it speaks of the question, supposedly, of the wicked son, and it says, Behoya ki yemru aleichem b'neichem, when your children will say to you, which is the question of the wicked son, So the answer is a different answer. It gives you a very dispassionate answer. It says, Ve'amartem zevach Pesach, you should say that it is a Pesach sacrifice to God, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel, and he saved our own houses. So you have a very rational, right, interpretation given to this question. Yet here in the Haggadah, Mo'aved Azeis Lachem, it says immediately you don't answer him, you blunt his teeth. So he says, why is this? So he says the following, the question of the wicked son, like that of the wise son, is a serious question, which has a reasonable answer. And that answer is given in the Torah. But the fact that the Haggadah here formulated two similar questions, and the fact that the Torah itself didn't incorporate this in one question, the Torah incorporated it in two different paragraphs. So by formulating two similar questions in two different paragraphs, the Torah indicates that there may be time when you have to answer these two questions differently. That means, otherwise, why didn't the Torah just put together Chacham and the Rasha, and it gives them a logical, rational interpretation? But by going ahead and saying Keneged Arba Bonim, that the Torah formulated this question, so it meant this question, when it's asked, Kiyem Ra'alechem B'neichem, you could give this answer, but there may be times when you have to give another answer. And how do we know the difference? Because you should bend an ear and pay attention to the tone and to the nuances in which the question is asked. That means, for example, if you have a heretic or an apikoros, so he'll question certain principles of faith, but you know he's an apikoros. And Lahavdil, he says, Rav Sadia Goyen also questions these same principles of faith. But there's a big difference between Rav Sadia Goyen. His faith is firmly rooted and doesn't depend on the answers that you're going to give, right? And he's only going further where it says, Da'as alakei avicha, try to perceive. Oh, you're totally committed with your heart, with your spirit. Then intellectually, you could try to perceive this, all right? We have to probe that, because he is the God of our fathers. We're not going to go away from the God of our fathers. Whereas the wicked son, this question comes here. The Haggadah wants to tell you that you have to see what his approach is. If it's coming from someone, and you look at the nuances, and he makes with his nose, or he makes with his hand, and so on, so then you realize that the question coming from him is a question which is improper. In a sense, he's not doing it because he wants to learn more of the Eidus of Hashem, but he's doing it in that form. So the words itself are not necessarily that different, that it should evoke from you a violent response. But it tries to say that when you're dealing with these words, sometimes you answer like it says in the Torah. Sometimes, after you observe the form and the nuances, then you may answer it like you have in the Haggadah. So that's how he explains the difference. The Chochem, there's no question. But the Rasha, you have to see the way this question is asked before you go ahead and you blunt his teeth. You have to know the way his question is asked. Now, the Gra has a few interesting interpretations on the answer that one gives the Rasha. The first thing he asks the question, and here again he alludes to, he says, what's really the difference between one and the other? Both use the second person, Lochem and Eschem. So he says the difference can be because there's a pasuk in Kehelis. The pasuk in Kehelis reads the following, that Yisron lechachma min hasiklus, the benefit or the excellence of wisdom over folly is the same measure ki yisrein ha'or min ha'choshech, as the yisrein of light over darkness. This is one of the puzzles or the riddles that Shlomo HaMelech says in Kehelis. What is the meaning of this? Ki yisrein lechachma min ha'sichlus, you could take it literally. So the Gra says a homiletical interpretation. He says when it compares it, it's almost like a mushel, when it compares it to Or and Choshech. When you look in the Torah, when the Torah speaks of the creation of day and Choshech, of night, of darkness and light, so the Pasuk in Bereshis reads the following, Vayikra Elokim, Leor Yom, and God called light day, Velacheshech, and to darkness, Koro Laila, he called night. So what difference do you see from Or to Choshech in the Pasuk from the Torah? The one word God. Here it says, Vayikro Elakim Leor Yom. When it speaks of Or, so it mentions Hashem's name. When it speaks of Choshech, so it doesn't say, and God called Choshech, but it says, Velachoshech Koralila. He doesn't mention the noun of God. It just says, Koralila, he called it night. So the Gra said, that's the meaning of the passage in Koheles. The difference from a wise person to a sochel, to a person who is stupid, is that the same difference as light from darkness, meaning God. The wise person is one who mentions God, who accepts God, the same as the light has God. The sechel, the fool, does not have, the same as the choshech does not have. So according to him, the emphasis is the difference from the roshe to the chacham, is that in the roshe you don't find God's name. In the chacham you do find God's name.